Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. My name is Roxanne Bain, and I'm a professional support lawyer in CDH's corporate and commercial practice. I'm joined by Belinda Scriber, who is a director in CDH's dispute resolution practice. Today, we are tackling a question that comes up more often than you would think. What is the legal status of a verbal agreement? Let's jump in. Belinda, are verbal agreements enforceable?
The short answer is yes, in most cases. Under South African law, if you have consensus, lawful purpose, possibility of performance, sufficient certain terms, and capacity, meaning that you're over the age of 18 and are considered to have all your wits about you, then a verbal agreement can be just as binding as a written one. The law doesn't insist on paper for most day-to-day contracting. The problem is proof. If a dispute lands in court, the party relying on the verbal agreement must prove, on a balance of probabilities, that both the agreement was concluded and what its essential terms were. That is where it gets tricky, because memories diverge, and each side often remembers the conversation in a way that best favors them.
Exactly. So while a verbal contract may be legally valid, the commercial risk is evidentiary. The best way to manage that risk is predictable. Write it down. But we know clients move at speed. So let's talk about when a verbal agreement is a hard no. Belinda, would you like to start us off?
Sure. The no-go bucket list consists of categories of contracts where the law requires that it be in writing and signed, and an oral agreement will just not be good enough. At the top of this list are the sale or the alienation of land. If you're selling immovable property, the Alienation of Land Act says that the agreement must be in writing and signed.
Another example is a suretyship. If you're standing a surety for someone else's debt, that must be in a written instrument signed by the surety. Antenuptial contracts have specific notarial and registration formalities. Wills have their own formalities. So do not think you can merely shake hands on a property sale or a suretyship. If it's not written and properly signed, you don't have a deal which the court will enforce. So that's the no-go bucket.
There are also some agreements where it's not required that the agreement be in writing, but legislative protection is provided for if it is. For example, in terms of the formalities in respect of leases of land act, if you're leasing property for longer than 10 years and that agreement is in writing and registered at the deeds office, then it gives you certain real rights which you would not otherwise have had.
Now for other large maybe buckets, service agreements, consulting engagements, pilot projects, these do get done verbally sometimes. The law will recognize them if the essentials are present, but think about complexity and duration. The longer the performance period, the more moving parts, the greater the chance you will wish you had documented it.
And then there's also the value of the transaction. Always ask, if it goes wrong, will you be comfortable spending real money to fight about what has been said? If not, reduce it to writing. If yes, we would still recommend you reduce it to writing because it will save you on both fees and grief.
Let's use a practical example. Suppose you have just agreed scope and price on a call. What can you do short of a full contract to make the enforceable story stronger?
First, send an email recap as soon as possible and preferably on the same day. You can say something along the following lines. As discussed, we'll deliver X by Y date for Z price. Payment terms are A. Your team will provide B and C by X date. Ask them to confirm or amend as they understand it. Silence isn't ideal, but a respondent says, yes, go ahead, could be gold in a dispute.
Add a simple quote or purchase order with key commercial terms like scope, fees, timelines, deliverables, and acceptance criteria. Even if the master service agreement comes later, that one pager is a bridge between handshake and paper. And keep contemporaneous records, meeting notes, draft schedules, and performance milestones.
Yes, evidence of conduct also speaks volumes. Did you invoice at the agreed rate? Did they pay? Did they approve proofs or schedules? Payment records and project artifacts often decide these cases because they reflect that the parties delivered as they agreed.
On the flip side, if you already have a written contract with a non-variation clause that says changes must be in writing and signed, an oral variation will not be enforceable. That clause is there to close the quote, we discussed a change on a call loophole.
Yes, and watch the quote, whole agreement clauses. or also referred to as entire agreement clauses. It says the written agreement is a complete deal and that prior discussions or promises are not part of the contract unless they are in text. Practically, if you care about assurances made during the negotiations, make sure it appears in the signed document or it will be treated as legally irrelevant.
Let's run a quick scenario. A marketing agency gets a frantic call before an event. They say, we need banners. 72-hour turnaround. Same rates as last time. The agency starts work. There's no purchase order yet. Approvals fly by WhatsApp. And after the event, the client disputes the fee.
A court will examine the pattern. Repeat relationship, urgency, approvals, delivery, and sometimes public use of the product. If the agency followed up with a written confirmation, ideally with at very least a noted proceed reply, plus timesheets, supplier invoices, and delivery evidence, there's a strong case for an oral contract as at the agreed rates. If, however, the internal policy genuinely requires a signed PO before work and you knew and you proceeded anyway, then your risk increases.
So takeaways for clients are this. First, decide at the outset, is this transaction one of those statutory no-go oral categories? If yes, stop and paper it. Second, if you must proceed verbally for speed, send a crisp confirmation email and keep the artifacts. And do not conflate proof challenges with invalidity. Clients sometimes think a verbal deal is not real. It is real. It's just harder to prove. The discipline is in documenting as you go, even if briefly.
And if your counterpart insists that they don't do paperwork, then that's a red flag. If they won't confirm basic terms in writing, you may be heading into trouble from the get-go.
So thanks, Belinda, and thanks to all of you for listening. Until next time.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.